from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, I've got good news, everybody. I've got really, really good news for you on a Wednesday. Thank you, everybody, for being here, whether you're on the radio, whether you are on the free Odyssey app, maybe you're on youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. However you're watching or listening, we appreciate you, and thank you for tapping in to the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And this morning, James and I were preparing for our show, as we are wont to do in the mornings, and we were going through some draft stuff, some draft prep. And I stumbled across the fix for the Sacramento Kings. I've fixed them, James.
Oh.
I've done it.
Yeah?
Yeah. So this is big time. I want everybody to, you know, congratulations to everybody on what's going to be an incredible season for the Kings, should they follow my lead on this. And I think that the Kings, who have their draft pick this year by way of not making the playoffs, they have the number 13 overall pick. And there's a player, as we peruse various draft boards and mock drafts, this particular one was Kevin O'Connor at the Ringer. And Kevin O'Conlin, whatever it is, we're perusing his mock draft. And I was just going through, and there were, you know, it's roughly the same top 15 guys in a little bit different order as the other ones you're going to see.
Of course.
Then I went and moseyed on down, and I found the perfect player for the Kings. At, I think, number 23 to the Bucks.
Mm.
He was a freshman at Wake Forest in the 2022-2023 season.
Mm-hmm.
And then spent his second season out of high school in the NBL. That's the Australian Professional League.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Bobby Clintman, and he's going to save the Kings.
This is it.
This is the guy. He's not an amazing athlete. You don't watch him and go, oh my God, electric. But he's functionally athletic. He can jump and finish at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
He can pass a little bit. He can play some defense. He's like 6'10 with a 7'2 wingspan. He looks enormous on the court.
Yeah, he looks like a big guy.
And he has had now, he's 2 seasons out of high school. He's 21 years old. He has had in the NBL a full like professional season of mm-hmm. developing his body and his strength. He can shoot it a little bit from outside. And I think the maximized version of Bobby Clintman is one where he is like a switchable, rangy defender and that perfect shot-blocking four alongside Domantas Sabonis. And it may take a couple of seasons, but I think it can contribute in year one, few minutes here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then by year two or three, I think you're really cooking with gas. And Bobby Clintman is the answer for the Sacramento Kings. Thank you.
Kyle is... He's making one of the classic blunders.
I'm sorry?
You're making what this is one of the classic
blunders. Oh, trying blunders. To win championships. Yeah, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You are giving Sacramento Kings fans someone to focus their attention on.
Yeah.
And now he will be a guy that everyone is focusing their attention on. He will be forever the guy that the Kings missed out on.
No, because they're going to draft him.
Okay. Okay. I think that there is a possibility of the Kings drafting in the first round of the 2024 NBA draft, but I don't know that I believe that they'll be drafting it at number 13.
Okay.
So that might actually play perfectly into your Bobby Clinton plan.
Yeah. Explain how this makes even more sense. You had something laid out for me.
Yeah, so basically, you know, because the Kings have their 2025 and 26 picks sort of tied up, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the Kevin Huerter trade.
Yeah.
If they were to trade, say, back in this draft and then potentially pick up another future first from somebody,
mm-hmm.
that would make a lot of sense. So the Knicks are sitting at, what do we say, 24 and 25. And then the Knicks have like three or four extra first round picks next season. If the Kings were to trade with the Knicks, allow the Knicks to move up to 13, they move back to 24 or 25, and they pick up an additional a 2025 first round pick, which again, they have a variety. They have their own, which is probably where the Kings would want. But they also have the potential for Milwaukee's. They have the potential for, it's actually some good picks. It kind of strange
mm-hmm.
what they have. They possibly have Washington's first round pick, which you're not going to be able to get in this scenario. But also Detroit's, which you're probably not going to get. So, but what I would do if I were the Kings and if I wasn't secure with what I'm doing with the 13th pick,
mm-hmm.
but I want to go get access to those other picks that I may or may not give up for the Kevin Huerter trade,
mm-hmm.
I would actually go pick up another pick. Because if you have a 2025, that guarantees that so you could actually trade a pick
mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't tie up all of your picks. If you had a 2026, it might even be better because the Stepien rule, it would avoid the issue of trading 2 years in a row. As long as you have a first round pick, you can, it doesn't matter if it's yours or someone else's.
It's not the act of trading. It's the act of vacating the first round.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know. I think that moving down in this draft, like mm-hmm. again, I'm looking at the 10 through 20, and I like 10 through 20, even 10 through 25. I think that there are some players there.
Mm-hmm.
Raw talent, like even what you're talking about with Clintman, like raw, like mm-hmm. reminds me a little bit of like Zeke Nnaji from Denver, you know, who went right around this area in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're hoping is that you find a talent that develops that, again, he has potential to be a three-point shooter. Those are some of the things that you're looking at him, the feel for the game, the shot blocking ability, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can you find a 3-and-D 4/5?
Yeah.
And that would really help the Kings. It's something that they need. They need a long athletic guy who can block shots at the 4 or the 5.
And this is, let me back up on the Bobby Clinton thing briefly. The like leaning in like he's God's gift to basketball is part of the bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And reality says finding a shot blocking 3-point shooting 4
mm-hmm.
is not super easy.
No.
If there was a player that was a surefire starting 4 who was going to block shots and shoot threes, he'd be going way earlier than the mid to late 20s.
Yes.
You know, that's just so, but it's about that potential and that growth. And I think there are ways he could contribute in year one for sure, which I think is very important. I don't think he's super far off if he develops the right way, which Kings player development has been pretty strong so far mm-hmm. over the last couple of years. You'd feel good about that.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe the lateral quickness he needs to improve on doesn't get there. Maybe the 3-point shot never really comes around and his offensive game is just super limited. That's on the table, no doubt. But when you're picking 13th in this year's draft in particular
mm-hmm.
or trading down, like that risk, the farther down you go in the draft, the higher that risk kind of goes. So I not to say he is a perfect player, but when we start looking at all these guys who are Dalton Connect and Jacoby Walter and Ron Holland, Like when you start looking at all those guys, there's red flags and issues in terms of like on court shortcomings.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, totally.
And I think when you're projecting out of like, man, who would be the perfect, if they develop into that like peak version of what they could be, I think I love the idea of Kobe Klintman. And like I said, I think he contributed in year one as well.
Yeah, I would also point out too, like this draft is very strange, and we're going to learn a lot as we're moving along and we're getting closer and closer to draft day. But like we're just hearing now, according to Jonathan Givony, DraftExpress/ESPN, Nikola Topic, who is considered like somewhere in the top 10. Some people have him all the way up to number 4, but between, you know, 4 and like 8,
mm-hmm.
he has a partially torn ACL. And he tore it in January. He has not had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring him overseas and have U.S. doctors look at his knee and kind of figure out what it is they need to do. But they just did that at the combine in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're looking at a player who maybe he falls to 13. Maybe a player that you could not have got your hands on before. And maybe if the Kings were to stay at 13 and they're looking at this as not a player that can help them today, but a player that can help them maybe next year and the year after, maybe you take a gamble on a 6'7", you know, 2'3", that has all kinds of skill, but has a knee injury and will probably miss a good portion of the season.
And that's where there's some flexibility in what I've had to say about this year's draft.
Yeah.
And because I'm of the mind, like, your window's now, and we'll talk about that. But if there's a player who falls, who you think, man, this guy can really, really play. We didn't think there was any chance we'd draft him. Yeah, he might not get to play a ton this year, but we think he's pretty close to ready once he does get on the court. You're going to have him. You may not have him a lot this year, but you're going to have him for all of next offseason to get him up to speed. And if you think that guy can contribute right away, then I think you can. It's tough. Because the urgency for me is now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if this is a guy who you had as the third or fourth best player in this draft, all of a sudden he falls to you at 13, it's like, man, that's really hard to pass up. Because if he goes 14 and steps in next year and is the rookie of the year after not playing this year, you're going, man, could have had that guy. And instead we have Dalton Connect, who can't get on the floor for more than 6 minutes a night.
Oh yeah,
that's.
I mean, it's intriguing. Like that's the draft is such a crapshoot, but the Kings are at a point where the value to them of the 13th pick is more likely as a trade asset than it is as a player, and that's tough because when you're looking at number 13, I mean, you might be able to find a player with a high floor but a lower ceiling at number 13 that you know you can plug in and play right now that has one or two definable skills.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dalton Connect, great shooter. We know he's going to walk in the league. He's going to hit 3-point shots, right? Mm-hmm. He's also gritty, plays some defense and all that stuff. But like the one thing that you know is he's going to be able to shoot the three ball.
Mm-hmm.
But are you limiting yourself long-term by continuously doing this where you only draft players that are mature, that are 22, 23. And so your player age as a team stays around, you know, the 23 to 26, 27. Mm-hmm. And as your stars start to get older, you're still bringing in these players. That might work. But I think there is also something to taking a flyer. We talked about this yesterday, the Gerald Wallace pick by Jeff Petrie years ago. There's something to taking a flyer on somebody like a... what's his name? Holland. Holland. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Ron Holland has all kinds of potential, but he's probably 2 years away.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you deal with it, but I also look at that pick and go, probably has more value to trade that for a 25, 26-year-old real player in the NBA with marketable skills that are good, that's good at what he does, and you already know what you're getting.
Yeah, and if you're the Kings at this point, certainty matters more than that draft pick.
Yeah.
At least to me, at least the potential of that draft pick. So, going to be interesting come draft night. But if they wind up walking away with Bobby Klintman, then I'll be very bullish about the Kings
yep.
going into next season. All right, we need to talk about the NBA Finals. We've got some more Kings offseason stuff to get to. We'll talk best NBA duos today as well. And at 11:30, one of our favorite guests, Jason Timpf, who covers the NBA for The Volume. He is one of my favorite basketball analysts. It's not the hot take thing. He is watching tape. He's grinding film, and he watches everything. So I can't wait to talk NBA Finals with him. That's coming up at 11:30 as well. You're not going to want to miss that. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, and we're hanging out with you until noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. People, man.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Someone said they like my headphones. You can thank James Hamm for those. Hooked it up with some new headies. Are my old headphones not in here anymore? They were in here.
I don't know.
I don't know where my old headphones went. They're probably in Studio One. Yeah, my old headphones, for various reasons. One, they might have gotten thrown once or twice or spiked for various reasons. But the bigger issue was when I was, and shout out to Tim Jordan, the ops manager out in San Francisco.
Okay.
Delightful person. One of my favorite humans I've ever met in radio. He hooked some people up with headphones around the station because we had like three pairs of headphones for the entire station. And it was just a constant, if people didn't bring their own headphones, it was a constant like, hey, I need headphones. Where are they? It was a mess. So he's like, nope, everybody get your own set. Here you go. And so I had those for a while. The problem was, is the chair has an arm on it, and this was a long headphone cord. And so there were so many times I would stand up and the chair would yank the headphones out.
Oh.
And so they eventually broke and they're all like disconnected and weird. So
I thought
you bought me new headphones, which was so nice of you.
They looked like you. Like I went looking for headphones and they're like a brown, they got a little leather on the top, they like all plush and
kind of like an off-white.
Yeah, like a cream colored. Yeah. So I was looking for headphones. I'm like, those look like something Kyle would wear.
Yeah, they're very dope. I like them a lot. At some point, at some day in my radio career, I'm sure I'll go to the IFB style like you have, the like in ear, but I'm not there yet. I like wearing cans.
Yeah, and I have mine are molded from when I did TV. And I also have a double because I don't hear very well. And I have so not everybody has doubles. A lot of reporters just have one ear.
Yeah, right.
But I can't hear all that well. So when it gets loud in an arena and you can't hear barely anything at all,
no choice.
I have I try to block out as much as possible.
Yeah. Someday I'll get there. I am not there yet. I want to remind everybody, speaking of not there yet, the NBA Finals, still not here.
Still not here. Great
tomorrow,
segue to nothing.
Tomorrow, game one of the NBA Finals, Mavericks at Celtics, 4:30. Coverage begins right here. We will have every single NBA Finals game for you right here on ESPN 1320. So if you can't be in front of your TV, if you're out and about driving, or you're listening on the Odyssey app, we'll have that for you. Like I said, terrestrially and on the Odyssey app for you. Game one of the Finals, Thursday at 4:30. We'll preview the Finals with Jason Timpf of The Volume coming up at 11:30 today. Yeah, I think it's actually the more we dive into the draft and the more we start discussing the Kings team building stuff. I need to phrase this delicately because I don't mean this in the way that it's going to come out. Well, maybe I do. It's not good that the Kings missed the playoffs. It's not like it would have been better if they did.
Of course.
They'd so much rather have been in the playoffs, even if they lost in the first round and not have their pick this year, that just would have been the preferable outcome. On the other hand, I think there's a way that this could wind up working out in their favor. And, oh my God, I did not write down who wrote this at ESPN. Somebody at ESPN, I forget who it was.
Okay.
Wrote about how the Mavs basically, by tanking last year, and eating a $750,000 fine for tanking, picked up a key piece of their championship run, or their run to the finals in Derek Lively.
Was it McMahon?
McMahon, thank you.
Yeah.
Bontemps was the only name that came into my head.
It's Tim McMahon.
But that is not, it's a Tim, but the wrong Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim McMahon wrote that and basically said that Dallas ate a $750,000 fine for tanking, but by doing so, they fell into Derek Lively, who was just so instrumental to their Western Conference Finals win, and he has been really all season, but particularly in the Western Conference Finals, to beat the Timberwolves and to get into the finals. And I think we could, not to say that the Kings are going to make a finals run next year,
mm-hmm.
but just as we talk about the draft, and the reason this stuff matters so much is because, okay, it would have been better if they didn't have their pick, but that doesn't mean you can suddenly throw this away. Like, this is now the route you're going.
Yeah, and I think, like, look, I would even add this, Kyle. It might be better that you do have your pick, because whether this is a great draft or not, it's not a great draft at the top. There are question marks at the top. That's how I would describe this. There's not a sure thing, right? It Victor Wembanyama is not sitting at the top end of this draft.
Right.
And there might not even be like a Karl Anthony Towns up at the top end of this draft. Like, there isn't a guaranteed star. But that doesn't mean that where the Kings sit at number 13 isn't extremely valuable, because the draft at that point is usually very similar, like one year to the next. Like, we can talk about, like, again, like the 2013 draft, which is one of the worst drafts of all time. It's like Anthony Bennett and, you know, Alex Len is in the top five, and mm-hmm. Nerlens Noel is like number seven, and then Ben McLemore number eight.
Mm-hmm.
But Victor Oladipo is in the top. He's the only one that like really came out of that top 10,
mm-hmm.
The top nine, that was really great. But then you get to number 10 and it's like CJ McCollum. You get to number 12, it's like Steven Adams. You get to number mm-hmm. 16, lo and behold, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. So
good player.
Yeah, drafts are weird.
I'm a winner.
Yes, exactly. They're weird in the way that the top end of the draft is such a gamble, and it's mm-hmm. you're hoping that you're landing a franchise altering star. The middle of the draft is where a lot of people are building their really strong, you know, great teams.
Right.
And look at, again, I bring this up all the time, but the Phoenix Suns, how many times they've missed at the top of the draft, but then they find Devin Booker at number 13. They find Devin Booker at number 13, but Dragan Bender, top five pick, Alex Len, top five pick, DeAndre Ayton, top five pick,
mm-hmm.
What's his name, Jackson.
Josh Jackson,
top mm-hmm. five pick. How many times they've blown it at the top end of the draft, but this, you know, 10 through 20, is where you can really find really solid rotational mm-hmm. players in the NBA. And I'd also mentioned that a future draft pick of the Kings might be worth X amount of dollar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can, like, via trade. But the number 13 pick, you know what pick it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not some mystical 2027 Kings first round pick that could be anywhere from number 8 to number 30.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it is. The number 13 pick is a lottery pick, and it's a lottery pick in a draft where there are players around that range that you can probably get value for.
Mm-hmm.
So there might even be more value in actually knowing what the pick is and trading sure. the pick at number 13, as opposed to trading some, again,
mm-hmm.
mythical, who knows what it's going to be, mm-hmm. 2027, 29, 31 pick.
Right.
So I do think that there is value, and if you're a team who's trying to improve right now, today, having an asset that you actually know what it is might be way more than speculative. And so I think there's a possibility that they can improve their team like right now using that pick, as opposed to trading the 2027.
Yeah.
Even like just throw Kuzma out there, right?
Sure.
So if Washington is looking at this, can they do better than the 13th pick in the draft for Kyle Kuzma in a trade?
Ooh, probably not.
Probably not. So what if you were able to trade the number 13 pick and then some salary filler to get up to Kyle Kuzma's dollar amount? Maybe that's enough. And so I'm not saying that Kyle Kuzma is like the end-all be-all for the Kings.
Yeah, but it's an example.
Yeah, it's an example where we talked about it before, where Malachi Richardson was a number 22 pick in the 2015-16, whatever, NBA draft. The Kings had Papi Giannis at 13, Malachi at 22, and Scal at 28, right? Three first-round picks. I think it's a 2016 NBA draft. Malachi Richardson, the Kings were able to trade Marco Bellinelli for the number 22 pick. And no, they did not maximize the value of that pick.
Sure.
But the fact that they were able to get the number 22 pick for Malachi Richard Marco Bellinelli,
mm-hmm.
the Kings need to, there's a possibility they could do that in reverse. And the 13th yes. pick is going to have more value than the 22nd pick.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Bellinelli is a rotational player at that time in the NBA for almost any team.
Yeah.
And that's what the Kings should be looking at. Like, how do we increase our talent level today without having to wait forever for it?
Yeah, man. Like this is the path. This is the path they've gone down. Not willingly. They would have rather made the yeah. playoffs, but it's not like, hey, now that they have their draft pick, they're done.
Yeah.
Like, no, they're now okay. It's a different hand of cards that they've been dealt, and they have to maximize that. Whether it is trading the pick, like you're saying, or whether it's making sure that whoever they take at that spot is. Even if it's super incrementally, just raising their ceiling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just the more we talk about this, the more, like I said, I don't want to fall into the like, actually, it's good they missed the playoffs. Like, I think that's just kind of a bad way to look at
it. Yeah, intellectually kind of dishonest.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not that, but it's not like they have no means of getting better now, they have no means of moving forward from this.
I also think it puts you in a position where you know you have to improve and you can't wait. It does. It puts you in a different position where the sense of urgency just changed because now you need to climb back up.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. You have to climb back up. If you're going to get you are not a team who's in the top four anymore.
Nope.
You got to find a way to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you've got to be aggressive and you got to do some things that might be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a steep hill to climb. We'll keep talking about that. We got NBA's best duos coming up as well on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
No
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, good conversations happening at the break. Shout out to the Chatty House for chiming in. I appreciate you guys at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you would like to join us here, you can also give us a call at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. The bottom line to everything here, when we're talking about the Kings this offseason, is what you brought up at the end of the last segment. They are no longer this team like they were after 2022 and 2023. Mm. They were this team on the rise. They were the number three seed. They won 48 games. They had this young core. They looked like they were headed to the moon. And then this past season happened, and they were basically the same team. They just didn't make the playoffs. And now, instead of, because going into last season, we were looking at the Mavs like, dude, Mavs miss the playoffs. Not buying it. Not buying the Clippers. Not buying the Timberwolves. But now all of a sudden, you've seen Oklahoma City prove it and be the number one seed. Denver is going to be around. Minnesota has proven like, yeah, hey, they're a force in the West now. Dallas has proven that, yep, they are a force in the West now as Kyrie and Luka have figured out how to play together and they've gotten the right pieces around them. All of a sudden, the Kings are looking up at a minimum of four teams.
Yeah.
And then there's New Orleans, who went 6-0 against Sacramento last year, who's also going to be in the mix. Phoenix was a disaster in the playoffs, but Phoenix is going to win some regular season games.
Yeah.
Like, this is a, and that's where, you know, when we talk about the draft and you're talking about a draft pick, there's a aspect of it that where the ceiling matters, where like, man, you can't just get a player with a super, because then you're not ultimately improving your team. You're just getting another like back end of the rotation guy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like they have a long way to go. They have to get a lot better. They're not like a draft pick away who's going to be the ninth or 10th guy in the rotation. And then, oh yeah, just go get a different backup big and now everything's fine. Like they have, I don't want to say leaps and bounds, because a team like Utah has leaps and bounds to make to get into contention, but they have at least a small leap to get in contention. I think that's where everything has to, whether you like Kyle Kuzma or whether you want Harrison Barnes around, or whether you like Brandon Ingram or hate Brandon Ingram or Zach LaVine or whatever player we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the point in the Kings rebuild or their ascension or wherever they're at, where you have to go compete now. You have to take some kind of swing to compete now. De'Aaron Fox is not 22. Domantas Sabonis is not 22. And none of the teams ahead of you are like significantly older.
Some of them are much younger.
Well, that as well.
OKC is much younger.
Yeah.
That's a problem. You have to figure out a way to, it's like keeping up with the Joneses, but like you got to figure it out. You got to figure out a way to jump back in the conversation.
That's it.
Right? And so I definitely think that the Kings, like they're not that far away.
No.
I don't. But I also feel like they're a starter and another top eight, top nine rotational piece away.
So that's interesting. So you say they're not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to agree, but I also don't think that means it's easy. Like where they need to get, they're not way off of it. It's not, like you said, they are a couple pieces away, but it's not super easy to just go find an upgrade at the four.
No.
Or an upgrade over a Kevin Huerter or Harrison Barnes or whatever it is. And particularly if you wind up losing Malik Monk, now all of a sudden you have to try and replace that piece of this as well.
Oh yeah.
So it's you're right. They are a couple pieces away from being really, really freaking good. But it's the path to get to those couple of pieces might be half a mile long, but there might be like a moat and maybe like a bear trap or two, and maybe an actual bear.
Yeah.
It is a tough road to add those pieces that they need, even if they're not considered far off.
No, I totally agree with that. And I also think that like if you were to lose Malik Monk, where that puts you, Now you're looking at three rotational pieces that you would need to figure out. And that's nearly impossible for them to handle in this one off season.
Yeah.
Like, you might be able to find a low-level guy to replace one of those guys. You might still be able to swing for the fence and grab one guy. You might be able to add something here and there, use your mid-level and stuff like that. But, like, the potential to lose Monk would be catastrophic for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And like, look, it's still an option. It's still a possibility. And they could totally reroute how you have to think of your entire summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm the Kings, I'm like, you have to be aggressive. And I also think that, like, being aggressive and going out and trying to pull off one of these trades, if you can whisper to Malik Monk on, you know, June 29th, a day before free agency officially opens, hey, we're bringing in X, Y, and Z. We already have, like, some sort of momentum to do that. That will change what his thoughts are. Mm-hmm. You can easily, like, secure what you're doing with Monk. And I also think that, like, you already took one step. The Mike Brown situation is now settled. Now it's like you got like 3 weeks here of what's going to be wild and chaotic, and it means everything. I mean, it does. Like, this franchise is, they're at a point where you plateaued. Maybe that's the best way to say it.
Yeah, they've hit a ceiling.
Yeah, and now you have one of your prime pieces that may not be back. And you have to find a way to either, you know, to get him back in the fold, but also to improve the roster beyond that. Because that, like, everyone can celebrate the day that they, if they're able to get Malik Monk back, but the next day, like, you got so much work to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of these things, they fit into one big giant package of, like, who are you? What are you moving forward? Because if this doesn't work out this year, what are you looking at next year? Like, what kind of step back do you take next year? Mm-hmm. And how do you move forward so you can move backwards so you can move forward? And we're starting to talk about, like, resetting everything and all that. That's what you're hoping to avoid here. You're hoping to, like, jump back into the conversation, not hang around the back end of the conversation, like be the wallflower who's watching everybody dancing, which is what they are this year.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure out a way to jump back into that conversation. And not only that, but I think that they're, it's not just length and athleticism. It's not just like a power forward or a small forward that they need.
Mm-hmm.
They need more than that. They need attitude. They need someone totally else agree. Who can bring something different to the table. It's why when people say, oh, you know, why would the Kings possibly look at Jonas Valanciunas? And that's because Jonas is a mean dude, and that you will not just go in and do something stupid against the Kings if Jonas is standing in the middle of the key.
Correct.
And if you
want an enforcer,
if you want to knock somebody down, if you want to do something dirty,
stomp on someone's chest, just for example.
Just for an example, if you don't think that Jonas Valanciunas is going to check into the game with a little scoreboard in his head and go take care of business, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, the Kings need that as much as they need a backup center.
Yeah.
They need a Jonas Valanciunas type like player. That's why I bring up a Bobby Portis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, Bobby Portis stares into your soul. Like, there's not a player in the league that I think, like, puts fear in somebody like Bobby Portis.
He literally broke a teammate's jaw.
Yeah. Yeah. He did.
Like, that's a thing that happened.
It is.
Yeah, man. No, they need they need teeth, man.
Yeah.
They just need, I brought it up last year a lot. I was like, man, they need dogs. And I know that's overplayed, and I know it's like, what the hell does that mean? But it's that. It's like somebody who's going to get after it. I think that's partly just on a, you know, bringing it night in and night out, not laying down against inferior opponents, you know, not laying down when the Suns make a huge run to come back at the end of a game, you know, digging in big spots. But also what you're talking about, like, there just needs to be an overall shift toward, like, some kind of grit.
Yeah.
That I think they're badly missing. Oh, I was going to get to our caller. We had Don on the line, and he is now gone. So if you want to call back, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, we will try and get to you as quickly as we can. Yeah, man. I was thinking about this with the Giants. The San Francisco Giants, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the worst things that happened to the Giants was was it 2021 that they won 107 games?
Mm.
I think it was the 2021 season where they went 107 and they make the playoffs and they lose in a brilliant 5-game series against the Dodgers. It was so much fun. But it offered this like proof of concept that the money ball strategy that Farhan Zaidi employed worked. And so it allows their ownership to, I don't want to say be cheap because they have the 10th highest payroll in baseball, mm-hmm. but it allows their ownership to not do things like overpay for Aaron Judge. And whether, again, maybe Aaron Judge was never going to leave New York. The Giants could have offered him $3 billion and he would have been like, nope, I'm going to be the Yankee captain and go to the Hall of Fame in New York and that's what I'm going to be. Maybe that was always going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But that they continue finishing second to all these free agents and they're putting in competitive offers, but it's like, bro, it's very clear that you got to go above that. But they won't now because they have this 107 wins in their back pocket and they go, look, it works. We just got to find the right pieces. And when you're trying to find the right pieces, you're going to get a really, really uninspiring team year in and year out that maybe they win 86 games and maybe they grab a third wild card spot, but it's nothing that fans are excited about.
Yeah.
I think with the Kings, the opposite is true. 48 wins was great, but I think it's almost better for them as we talk about this urgency that they took a little slide last year just in terms of results.
Yeah.
Because now it does uptick that urgency where it's like, yo, got to do something to compete here.
Yes.
Because if they make the playoffs this year, and let's say they win a round and they go to the second round and they get wiped in the second round, then you're looking at the same roster and going, oh, okay, it's there. And it's like, man, it's not though. Like, it's just, it's not. They have to make some kind of significant change. And I don't know if that would have been catalyzed had they, you know, had the same year, but gone to the playoffs. Had they won their play-in game and made the playoffs. So I was watching the Giants last night be just kind of a bummer to watch.
Yeah.
Just really bad vibes. And I keep going back to the 107 wins. And I was like, man, that's the worst thing that could have happened.
No, I get what you're saying completely. And I think that jumping up to the third seed for the Kings last year, it like reset expectations really, really high.
That's a good point.
And yeah. I think that, you know, again, we kept saying like 48 wins doesn't usually equal the third seed.
No doubt.
And people kept fighting like, oh, but this is like, it's not usually the way it works. That's why 46 is a 9 seed. Like you won two less games and you're the 9 seed.
48 this year wouldn't have made the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the way it is. But at the same time, I hear a lot of people, oh, the Kings need to spend more. They need to do this. They need to do that. Like, I looked at their roster this year, and I didn't see a pathway for them to start someone different and come up with a different result, right? So we can talk about what Mike Brown as a coach and, like, what people love and what people don't like, you know, about what he does. But at the same time, what was a clear-cut answer that would have improved this roster? And it doesn't always work that way because when Kevin Herter goes down and Keon Ellis steps in, I think mm-hmm. the Kings were different and like you could see an outline mm-hmm. of something different. But also, I don't know what the overall record. I think he started like 6-0 as a starter or 7-0 as a starter. I don't know what his overall record ended up.
Sure.
But when you're looking at that, you're like, okay, that's something different. But there was no like hidden move that the Kings could have done that would have increased their win total by 5 or 6. Like injury, sure. Hitting free throws, sure. But there wasn't like, they didn't have another option outside of their starting five, really.
Yeah, and for me, it's revisionist history to go back and say, oh, they shouldn't have. There were people who argued that they needed to change the roster up last year. But I was of the mind that like, yeah, if you're going to run it back, unless there is a surefire, definite, going to get better move, I think you had to run it back. Like, you have to see what Keegan Murray is going to become. You got to, like, Kevin Herter was awesome again. You bring back Harrison Barnes, and you just kind of had to see it. And then, like you said, at the deadline this year, with the way their picks were tied up because of the Kevin Herter deal, it wasn't like, we've tried. We've tried to make the PJ Washington trade work for the Kings. And it's like, two rotation players and a first-round pick?
No.
They didn't have that option.
They did not have the ability to make that trade. They didn't even have the ability to make the Gaffer trade. They didn't. So, yeah. Like, I understand that. I also look at last offseason, and you're left with the question of, like, what happened and why you weren't able to make the improvements. Like, last offseason, the Kings didn't do nothing. they signed Domantas Sabonis to a massive extension.
Mm-hmm.
Like and they renegotiated his salary up like $9 million and then signed him to an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's something that is meaningful and that we're not dealing with this offseason. Because if not, that's what we would be dealing with today is whether Domantas Sabonis and Malik Monk would walk away right now and what that could look like for the Kings. Not the situation you want to be in.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, but it was once they got done with that and they still had upwards of $25 to $30 million to spend and it was that they weren't able to go out and get a big fish. And the problem is that is the last free agency period that they're going to have. I don't see another free agency period in the next 5 years that they're going to have because Sabonis' salary goes up, Fox's salary goes up, you're going to have to pay Keegan Murray. Like all of these things are happening, right? So even when Herter and Barnes, if you were to hold on to them and they fall off the books, even then you're not going to have this huge amount of salary cap space. So you had this one time, right? And I think what they did is they used Harrison Barnes as a salary cap hold spot. Mm-hmm. They know that they can still go get value for him, but the fact is you still need that $18 million salary to trade.
Right.
And so for me, they're kind of in this weird position where, again, we keep tying up their draft picks forever. We're acting like they're just going to be able to trade four first round picks. Well, then you don't have a way to get better in those summers. You don't have a first round pick in those summers. You could already be over the luxury tax or over the first apron or pushing the second apron. So these are all things that you have to consider when you're building out a team. And it's not just simple as like swapping pieces out and thinking it's going to work. You also have chemistry to worry about, all of these things. So I don't think it's as cut and dry as like, hey, we know where we are and we know where we have to get to. Like, what is the pathway? And how difficult is that pathway? And how much do we tie up our future, everything, in order to make this move? And it's tough. And it's why I think at certain times we're really hard on Monty McNair for being inactive. And I would continue to say when the Kings got to December and January, you knew your team wasn't good enough.
No doubt.
You thought that there might be some switch that could be hit, but it wasn't hitting. Like no one was flipping the switch.
Yeah.
So you got to that point and you should have done everything in your power to try to make a move then to keep yourself back in that top four conversation. You didn't. And now you're sort of at this point where how do you do it right now? And how much work have you created for yourself? But that we're acting like Monty McNair didn't try and he did. And there just nothing materialized that made sense for him. In January and February. And sometimes that's the way it works as well. And you just kind of have to bite the bullet and hope for better things next year and next summer.
They were deeply involved in the Pascal Siakam stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if they had traded Malik Monk and other stuff to get Pascal Siakam, that would have gotten panned widely.
Yeah.
And then we'd be sitting here unless the Kings made some kind of run to the finals, which I don't think they would have. We'd be sitting here going, man, is Pascal Siakam going to resign? And then what?
Yeah.
So, I think in general, am on board with that line of thinking. But I care less about what has happened to this point, because are there things they could have done, you know, on the margins a little bit differently? Sure, but in general, it was always going to land at this spot where you have to go. Like, it's now.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought Damian put it perfectly. The Mike Brown contract is done. Okay, they have their coach locked in. But now eyes turn to the front office. And to me, that's their jobs. And that's the goal of the front office is to make the team better every single year.
Yeah.
And that's why at this point, like, everything has to be on the table. You cannot just sit on your hands. And that's not to say they should go make a super lopsided deal where they're getting hosed in a trade just to say they did something. No, but it's exploring every single avenue, which I'm sure they are, and taking every single street, turning over every rock, leaf, pick your metaphor, and ensuring that they're doing something that's going to make this team better this offseason. If you can't, well, then the conversation changes a lot.
Yeah.
But it's now to me. And I think everything has to be on the table. Every player has to be on the table. Every asset has to be on the table. every player within reason. There's just, if it's Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram or one or the other, or Jonas Valanciunas and one of those two guys, the roster just has to A, be different, but B, be better.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's the front office's gig. Like, that's our whole thing. So I think to me, eyeballs go to them now.
Yeah. And I think that being able to honestly assess who and what your team is, I mean, that's so crucial at this point.
1,000%.
Like, and I know that, like, coming up through the Houston system, like, one of the real basic tenets is never overpay your own players, right? Mm-hmm. Never overpay. Mm-hmm. And it's something that the Kings have done so many times here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how many different people I could point to where the Kings overpaid, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, you can go back to Francisco Garcia, or you can, like, there's all of these points in history where they overpay their own free agent or whatever because they have so much value. Mm-hmm. And I know somebody said in the chat, hey, you know, like, Monty always talks about the flexibility, but he never uses that flexibility. And this is one of those moments where you have to use your flexibility. The fact that the Kings have, you know, again, $2.6 million players in Chris Duarte and Davion Mitchell that are on mm-hmm. expiring contracts that can be traded for, they can, you can bring back twice as much as goes out. So each of those players could be, a $6 million player can be traded for a $12 million player. You can aggregate those two. Those two together can be $12 million player. You can trade for up to a $24 right. million dollar okay. player. In theory, they could trade Chris Duarte and Davion Mitchell and the 13th pick for Kyle Kuzma without touching the other stuff that they have. Now, you're taking back $12 million. You're going to end up paying luxury tax, or you're going to have to create some other space another way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where, again, Trey Lyles, 1 year, $8 million. Sasha Vezenkov, 1 year, $6.5 million with a, mm-hmm. with a team option for year number two. These are all, you're in a moment where you do have flexibility, and this is a moment that mm-hmm. you might have to use that flexibility. And even the contracts of Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, both of them are 2 year deals, and everyone can look at those and go, okay, those are reasonable rotational players no matter what in the NBA. Yeah. And at what do I have to give up in order, like, would I take those back in a trade to send out something bigger?
Mm-hmm.
They might. And yeah. So I think it's a fun exercise for us to sit here and talk about it all the time. But it's also such a complicated puzzle that Monty is dealing with. And how do you put it all together? This is not like if you've seen the thing on Facebook where it literally shows you how to fix a Rubik's Cube. There's like literally, there's like four motions that if you just keep doing it, the Rubik's Cube will be fixed.
Hilarious.
Right? So when you see people go super fast, it's because there's like literally specific things. There is no four moves that to fix the Kings and to make them the NBA champions. Mm-hmm. And if there there is. Well, maybe. But yeah. If there was, like, every team in the league would be doing the same thing. They would all understand how to do it, and they would fix their team and make their team an NBA championship as well, a contender or whatever. But that's just not the way it works. And so I think it's interesting. And I think the Kings are in a really, really interesting spot because they do have the assets. They do have the value of expiring contracts in a world where all of a sudden we have a second apron
mm-hmm.
and teams are looking at that going, I don't want my 2032 first round pick frozen. Like, so there are going to be teams out there that are giving away things
mm-hmm.
for less salary.
Like, and good teams.
Yeah.
Like good contending teams. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Kings need to aggressively pursue players or teams that are in a situation like that. But they also, you got to start throwing draft capital. You got to start doing whatever it is you can to get better. Mm-hmm. And that's because you're not good enough.
And honestly, 1,000%, I am right there with you. And that is why I see this online a lot. And this is not just the Kings. This is not exclusive to Kings fans. This is every fan base in every sport when you start talking trades and picks. It's like, well, I wouldn't give up multiple first-round picks for that guy. It's like, bro, is that guy going to make your team better right now?
Yeah.
Then punt the picks.
And could that pick be the 25th pick because you got good?
Exactly. That's...
And then what are we talking about?
Yes.
That pick's not even worth the Marco Bellinelli of the world, that level of player. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, like punt. I'm ready to punt every pick. Was it Les Snead, the Rams GM, F them picks?
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm at. Send them all out. I don't care. Huh? I genuinely don't. That's where I kind of land on that. And also draft Bobby Klintman.
That's right.
And also that.
And also that.
don't punt that pick. Use that trade back. Use that pick. But then the rest of them you can punt.
You're hoping he falls to 45.
God, I hope so.
That's right.
That'd be amazing. That's awesome. So hyped. I'd buy a jersey day one. I'm not even lying. You can clip this. If the Kings draft Bobby Klintman, first, second round, wherever, 13th pick, 25th pick, 40th pick, whatever it is, I will day one cop that jersey. Day one. Immediately. It'll be in the cart that night.
All right.
Clip that. Anyways, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We have a whole second hour coming up. We're going to talk some Kings. We'll talk NBA Finals. And we have Jason Timpf, one of my favorite people to talk basketball with. He is coming on at 11:30 to preview the NBA Finals. He covers the NBA for The Volume. We'll be right back on Sacramento's Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.